Well, 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 hello.
Hello. Hello.
To another spooky edition.
Spooky.
Of considering something.
Things, yeah. You know, I'm just now realizing this should have been done Halloween.
I agree.
And, but we're jumping on this a little late. But that's okay.
Maybe we're just more scared now.
Maybe it's less scary now.
Yeah. Yeah. November. Because I would have had trouble going to bed that night.
Yeah, not really.
I think I would have.
You would have, yes, absolutely. I watch scary movies alone all the time.
And you really do. It intrigues me. You and your scary, scary movies. Well, it's like the Final Girl stuff when I really enjoyed that particular episode working with Peter and Anna. First of all, I find them intriguing and fascinating.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah, and then on top of that, just this idea of combining these two worlds that you and I, they're so far apart, but here they're combined.
Right,
in this one winery, you know, that was just really cool.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was really cool. That's why I became so fascinated with them because I'm sure I could just talk for hours with them just on like our favorites and, especially because he's writing a screen.
He writes horror films.
I would have loved to have just gotten into that with him. And we just, there's so much stuff to them. They were very deep,
It's
almost worth a second interview just to talk about his horror writing and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That's episode 41 for all you people. That's one episode ago. So please go back and listen to that if you haven't.
Yes. Give us some likes.
This episode of Considering Some Things brought to you by Nabu Wines. Nabu Wines in Westlake Village, California. Greg Barnett, Jeff Bailey making some great varietals and blends from the Napa Valley Vineyards and from the Malibu Coast.
Yeah, we're really quick area. Shouldn't we, since it's this, scary, shouldn't we call it Nabu? I just really went out there. Sorry. You laughed. That's good.
I laugh at everything you do, even when it's completely off base.
Go by Nabu. If you don't, it will haunt you.
Nabu Wines. They have local free delivery. They have a fantastic outdoor setup. It's socially distanced. It's very safe for all of you people who are afraid and need a drink. You should really hit up Nabu Wines in Westlake Village on Townsgate Road, nabuwines.com, nabuwines.com. You will be impressed. Tell them I sent you. Nabu 15, Nabu 15 for a 15% discount when you order online. Otherwise, show up, tell Greg I sent you, and enjoy the wines. You're going to love it.
And he won't throw you out or anything, so that's good.
As far as we know. I mean, as far as we know. I'm not going to make that promise.
Now, if you are a musician and you live anywhere in the 805 area code, that's from Ventura all the way up to Paso Robles, our little jewel of Central Coast, California, there's a marvelous place on Facebook called 805 Musician Network. That is a network purely for musicians. It's musicians helping each other out. Right now, we can use all the help we can get because gigs and venues are just, with the COVID thing, we're all starving to death. So I know a lot of musicians are having to, reinvent themselves and things of that nature. Very, very tough. But come on down to 805 Musician Network. Say hi. Let's talk. Let's commiserate. Let's help each other out. 805 Musician Network on Facebook. Join up.
But unless you're a bass player.
Yeah, well, then you could, Well, then there's dues for you if you're a baseball
player. you can be a member.
You can be a member.
But you have to pay.
We're charging you, unfortunately. That's just not true. We love bass players as well.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
I would never say that to Geddy Lee.
Yeah, there you go.
No, we're not
there
charging you. You can come in for free.
Hey, why hasn't he joined, do you think?
Well, he doesn't live in the 805.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
that's you got to live in the 805. He's actually applied, and I said, sorry, you're Canadian.
can you imagine? He applies and you turn him down.
I turn him down. No, you don't live in the 805.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, let me in your club.
Now, John Anderson, if he still lives in San Luis Obispo, I don't know if he still does. He used to.
Yeah, he did.
He could join. John Anderson, sure if you're listening.
I know he listens to the podcast.
Join up, yeah. Yeah. You're one of the good people that you've seen.
It's fascinating to me because is the Central Coast, would you call it growing, or is it like every place else in California? Are you emptying out?
Oh, no, I think it's grown. From when I moved here, absolutely.
It has grown.
Oh, yes. Santa Maria just reminded me of Simi Valley. So, yeah. You know, when I was a kid in Simi Valley, you know, the 118 was nothing but orange groves and things. It was very rural. And now it's, you go there now, it's a miniature San Fernando Valley.
Truly.
And, same thing with Santa Maria. We're still a an agrarian kind of society. This raw, everybody's strawberries comes from here.
Yep.
I mean, we are strawberry capital, right? And everything else. I mean, if it's farm, it'll grow here. So, and then of course the wineries went crazy. When I first
moved out, have wine there?
a little bit. You go back to when I first moved here, which was what, 88, 89, something like that.
Right. Yeah, you were back there early. Yeah. No, was it really? You went up there in the 80s? You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you really did. Yeah.
I think it was 89 when I moved out here, and I moved, I settled further north. I settled in Cayucas.
Cayucas.
Tiny little house, because I wanted to live by the beach.
I remember.
And, I was still young then, and that was too remote. So from there, moved to San Luis Obispo, lived in San Luis Obispo for quite a while. Then bought a house because it was affordable in Santa Maria. That's my first house. So.
Right. Yeah. And it is. Santa Maria is still a place that you can, I mean, we're leaving the state. We've already talked about that. But one of the places we could afford to live if we really wanted to was Santa Maria, although the taxes are still deadly.
Yeah, that's everything else. I mean, but in terms of houses, yeah, it's one of the few. I mean, or you can go to Bakersfield.
Sure. Yeah. My dad is in the Central Valley. He likes Visalia a lot. Yeah. He's very happy there. So
yeah, there's you've that's a certain kind of people.
It is. So. It's a certain kind. And none of them listen to the show, so we can tell you what kind of people they are.
I owned a house in, Bakersfield. It's actually Oildale, by the way, for Oildale.
Was it an Oildale?
Yeah, it was an Oildale.
It was.
Of course, we had no idea the reputation. We said we were just buying it for investment.
Right.
And realtor is like, oh, well, you know, what's really growing up and coming is North Bakersfield. And I'm like,
sold you a bad.
They did. It was Oildale. It was newer houses. This was, they were built in 2006. And I think this was 2008 or whatever. It was right when the bubble happened. It wasn't. Meh. Anyway, sold it just recently. So, yay.
Yeah, I'm congratulations. Free of that
burden. Oh, my God.
What are you drinking tonight?
I'm drinking 1792 whiskey.
Ah, beautiful.
1792 is marvelous.
Rock or rockless?
I put a rock in there, but I didn't put I've got big, huge rocks, and I just put a couple of ice cubes. I do. I have big rocks. And actually, they're balls. I have big ice balls.
I don't need to see. That's
big
why
ice ball.
I don't have to say anything. It just kind of serves itself up, grabs a fork and a napkin, sits down.
Yeah. I just figured, I'm going there. Why not? But this is delicious. Nice hints of vanilla and caramel. Yeah, how do you say it? Caramel or caramel? How do you?
I say caramel, but I'm a Midwesterner, so we don't say anything correctly. Caramel.
Caramel.
I'd like a give me a caramel.
Well, it's nice because then it's not five syllables. Caramel.
The caramel. The stupid
caramel.
Word.
Yeah, it's too many syllables.
Who says that? I'd like the caramel. Shut up. Go to the back of the line.
It's the same people that say, "Where have you been?
Where have you been?
Have you been eating all the caramel?
Is this happening again?
Again?
What? What the hell? Go to the back of the line.
Do you ever put caramel on your cool whip?
Well, you know what? Next show we record, we're going to have to do a whole show where we properly pronounce
cool whip.
Cool. Yeah.
Yes, cool.
My friend, my late friend Ed, used to, when he would write an email to you and you answered him affirmatively, he would send back and it would say K-E-W-L. Cool.
Cool. I still do that occasionally.
Yeah, cool. I do too.
Cool. That is so cool.
Cool. Dude. Well, thanks for asking me what I'm drinking.
Yeah, tonight. What are you drinking, by the way? you know what I'm drinking? 1792, baby. It's Sippalicious.
It is Sippalicious. I'm looking at my bottle of it right here. You know what I'm running out of? In fact, I've run out of is the Crowbar that you so graciously gave me for my birthday last year. I need to get another one of those.
Some more of that.
So my wife sent me on an errand because it's eggnog season and she wanted eggnog. Uh-huh. And so she wanted me to fortify the eggnog properly. And her preference is for brandy. And so I was thinking cognac. I was going to, you know, kind of splurge a little bit. And lo and behold, Sunday morning, the CBS, oh goodness, sorry about the extraneous noises there. The Sunday CBS Sunday morning television show, which I watch fairly frequently. I was watching it and I was so excited because they had a whole piece on Laird's Applejack. Now, if you don't know Laird's Applejack, the quick story is Laird's has been around. Their first bill of sale is in the year 1780.
Yeah.
They sold Applejack to George Washington and to lots of people. They're in New Jersey. Applejack is merely apple cider that then sits in the barrel outside and freezes in the wintertime. Then it's called being jacked. So you in the morning, or rather after a few nights of this being frozen over and over again, you chip out the ice and you've got a highly fermented apple brandy.
Mm.
And it's very tasty. And so I thought, I've got to get some of that. And that would be so good in the eggnog. And I went and bought, and I splurged on their single cask selection. Ooh. This is bottle 50 of 180. Ooh. And it's aged 56 months. It is 127.6 proof. I'm thinking isn't it? It's 60% alcohol.
Yeah, it's about 60. Yeah.
It burns like a mother. So what I do is I put water in it, but my wife puts eggnog in it.
Oh, that'll calm it down too.
Yeah. It'll calm it down. And and she likes it too. She's very fond of it. But Laird's, and I highly recommend it. You can buy the regular historic apple brandy for about $30 a bottle. Huh. This one was $56 because it's the single cask selection. And I thought, I'm going to splurge. It's Thanksgiving.
That is wonderful.
So I am more than excited, and I'm sipping that with water this evening because again, 60% alcohol burns like a mother.
It burns, yeah.
Yeah. So it's delicious, and I'm enjoying it. Thank God.
Yeah, I think
that's all I've got for today.
1792, I think, is like 46, so it's not right. Near as bad.
And it's caramely.
Oh, it's so delicious! It's really caramelicious. Good.
It's caramelicious.
It is so caramel. It only needs a little bit of cool whip. to complete the whole flavor.
That'd be great. Put Cool Whip on your bourbon.
Yes, Cool Whip.
I'd like some Cool Whip, please.
Yes, it'll tame it. It's high alcohol, so you need some Cool Whip.
We'll know that our podcast has taken off and made us famous when people are ordering. You know, I'll get a. Can I get a glass of bourbon with Cool Whip?
With Cool Whip, please. Cool Whip. Yes, well, vanilla tonight, extract and Cool Whip. All right, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm good, man. Don't worry about it.
All right, go. Yeah, well, you're going to talk. Oh, hey, so tonight we are going to talk spooky
stuff.
We're going
to talk some weird stuff, man.
We're going to get weird. So I've been dying to do an episode like this because I love this stuff. Now.
Get it? Dying to do?
Dying to get it? Ah! That's what you're supposed to say about... you know, anybody who's working in a cemetery.
I hear people are dying to get in
there. People are dying to get in there. Yeah. And, you know, they're the last people to let you down.
Oh, jeez.
Hey-o.
Anyway. Hey-yo.
So, yeah. Paranormal stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if now alien stuff gets into that, but I was going to talk a little alien stuff.
Well, too. I think so. Yeah, it's paranormal.
Yeah. But there's, you know, of course, the different types of ghosts.
Yep.
And what you're not. And then, of course, you know, can't finish this up without at least talking about some demons. Demons.
Demons are an interesting conversation.
We don't even have enough time to do all the demon stuff, because if you really get into the study of demonology and all that good stuff, it's whoa.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
It's wicked.
This is actually fascinating to me. When I first brought Keith on and we hung out together on this podcast, he put forth a slew of ideas, and I was so intrigued by all of them, and this one really kind of caught my attention, and not for the reasons that you might think. The reason that it caught my attention is because where I begin from is really a place which doesn't necessarily allow for ghosts in my paradigm. In the worldview that I have, I don't necessarily believe in ghosts. I'm not wedded to that idea, and I do have some other thoughts about it that we'll get into. But Keith is I think you're the opposite of that, right? You do allow for that. It is in your paradigm. You think it's possible.
No.
Or am I wrong?
No. Well, believe it or no, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe it. That's why I like scary movies so much. I like scary movies because it's just fantasy. It's make-believe stuff to me. And that's why I'm intrigued with it. I love that idea that, ooh, how cool. We can just, you know, as the old Rush song says, we suspend our disbelief and we are entertained. And that's fun. I'll do that. But do I buy into it? No, I don't buy into any. But this goes back to even, you know, studying myths in general, doesn't it? Because we do need a mythology and everything like that. So that's why I think it's cool. Now, I'll say that, never seen a ghost or anything like that. I've had weird stuff happen to me before.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, but even then I'm going to explain it all away, but I'll certainly tell my story. But with that said, I love the ghost stuff. I don't necessarily buy into it. I'm not going to say pessimistic. I'm just sort of, I don't, yeah.
Yeah, you're a skeptic.
I am a skeptic, correct.
Yeah, me too. My friend Gary Taylor, Gary doesn't listen to the podcast. Gary, you should listen to the podcast. It would make your life infinitely better.
Yeah, Gary, what's your problem?
Gary, I got to know Gary. He lives in Biloxi, Mississippi. And Gary has become a very dear friend. I've only met him one time in person when we went down there in 2006. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina hit that area, and I did an outreach program, and it was all done with some friends of mine, just myself, really. I started it. I picked up the phone. I called places on the advice of the radio host, Hugh Hewitt, who said, don't bother, just handed money over, call people, see what they need. And I thought that was so unique and bizarre, and I did it. And Gary was the first guy that answered the phone at a place called Beauvoir United Methodist Church. We began a whole relief program that to this day is just one of my favorite things. And so Gary and I have become friends. And being a man of the South having gone through some incredible things in his life, you know, he and I were speaking recently, and he was talking about this. He writes an email that he sends out, like an email digest called True Confessions. And he wrote about ghosts, and it's great. I won't read the whole thing to you, but he let me give you a couple paragraphs. This is I love his vignettes. They're wonderful.
Yeah, I want to hear. Yeah.
He says, my sister telephoned on Wednesday. We talked as I drove home from work. I want you to know Monday night, Junior came and got me, Marie told me. He said, Mama, come look in my room. I said, what for? I was afraid it was going to be a snake or a spider, you know. But he just kept saying, come look in my room. So I went and I didn't see anything. I asked him, I said, what am I supposed to be looking for? And he said, Mama, Grandma, and Teresa were in here. I wanted you to see them. Our mother died in 1985. Teresa, Junior's wife, died earlier this year. Both had cancer. Well, damn, Marie. I know. He swore he wasn't asleep or anything like that. They just came in like normal people. Last night he saw them again. He didn't come get me. He told me this morning. He said they both walked right through the door like it was open. And he just looked at them until they went away. He said Mama looked very peaceful and happy. And he goes on, it's actually quite a long piece, but then he and I spoke, I read it and I wrote back to him, and he told me, he gave me permission to read it aloud. He then responded to me and he said this, and it's interesting, Keith, because he shares a lot with you and me. He said, Gary is now saying to me, he's writing to me directly. He says, I don't believe in ghosts in a ghost story sense, but I do believe that we are surrounded by presences and spirits that now and then we become aware of. I do not see that as contradictory to my religious belief. God is God and can command whatever God wishes. I'm not Catholic, but I occasionally ask various saints and others who have gone before to pray for me, which presupposes they exit on some level and can respond in some way. I've not had anything happen that I would describe as entirely irrefutable, but I have to say that when you simply think about all the coincidences, all the things we explain away, so here's a couple of ideas what he's talking about. A famous family story of his family's. My mother had a brother, Frank, who was a pilot in the Air Force. He was in Korea, and afterward, he worked as a test pilot. She dreamed she was at his airbase, sitting on a hill watching aircraft take off and land. An airplane taxied onto the field, and she thought, that's Frank. Then as the plane took off, there was an explosion. The ground ruptured and black tentacles rose up in the air and destroyed the plane. The dream upset her so much that she told Daddy and several others about it. A few hours later, she was notified that Frank was dead. He was testing an airplane ejection system and the plane's canopy failed to retract, killing him instantly. Another fairly famous family story, my mother dreamed she was counting. She would say inside her head, 1, 2, 3, 4, but she couldn't remember what came after 4. I like reading this in his accent. Gary, don't kill me. I love being I just, Gary's got the most beautiful accent. 1, 2, 3, 4, but she couldn't remember what came after 4, and she began to count again over and over. And I, asleep in another room, suddenly sat up and screamed, "It's 5, mother, it's 5. I am occasionally aware that I've dreamed something that feels prescient, but when I do, I make an effort to forget it as entirely as possible. And dreams, of course, become more and more difficult to recall as you move into wakefulness. If it is a talent of some sort, it's not one I want to encourage." So that really kicked me off into this, and I told Keith about it, and he said, "Let's do the paranormal." So here we
are. And here we are. Oh, that's a great story. That's wonderful. Yeah. Again, I've been a skeptic when it comes, as much as I'd love to believe all this stuff. I really would. If it was true, it'd be the grooviest stuff in the world. I mean that sincerely. And it may be, and maybe I'm just, totally blind to it all and everything like that. I was kind of reading the different types of ghosts out there. So, a website I went to, called Ghosts and Gravestones. And I think they, Ghosts and Gravestones. I don't know if you're
really?
.com. Yeah. .com. You can go look them up. They've got 5 different ghosts, different types of ghosts.
Hmm.
The most common is what they call the interactive personality. So, and it's usually a deceased person, someone you know, a family member, or maybe even a historical figure. They can be friendly or not, but they often show themselves to others in like a variety of ways. They can be visible. They can speak or make noises. They can touch you or emit an odor like a perfume or cigar smoke, something to let you know they're there, right? Experts say this type of ghost retains its former personality of when they were alive and can feel emotions. Ooh. Often they are visiting you to comfort you or let you know something important. So if you happen to see a loved one, chances are they're because they feel you want or need to see them, that kind of thing. And I can tell stories of my visit at the Brookdale Lodge, which at the time, this was probably 10 years ago, and it's no longer there, but it was the Brookdale Lodge in Santa Cruz. If you look it up, it was the hangout of like 50s movie stars and Marilyn Monroe. It was the getaway. That's where all the hip and rich movie stars would vacation.
Sure.
And what was cool about it is if you'd go, they had a big swimming pool, and then when you dived in, there was a big glass, and so you can watch people swim in the dining room. And there was also a stream, a real life stream that ran through the restaurant, which was a trip. It was really cool. And that was very hip, cool kind of stuff. This is my motorcycling time, so we rode up there with our group of, we had 20 friends. and we all stayed in the Brookdale Lodge. And I'm kidding, I kid you not, everybody had a weird story
to tell
about the rooms. Now, we were told they were working it. I got to be honest. They were saying, you know, this place is haunted. We're just going to let you know. We'll give you guys, because they didn't have a lot of customers, so we're going to give you guys the big tour. You know, look for the orbs that was really big, which is also a type of ghost, apparently.
Is it really? I was wondering, because orbs are a big deal. Yeah.
Well, so they're the most photographed type of anomaly. Sure. They appear as translucent balls or balls of light that hoover over the ground. Many Keith ghosts. Balls. What's that?
Keith and his balls.
And my balls, right? That's why I've got ice cube balls, ice balls. So any ghost hunters, they always see them in their photos, right? And you'll see the little orbs. So it's believed that orbs are the soul of a human or even an animal that has died and is traveling around from one place to another. It's a circular shape that take on makes it easier for them to move around and is often the first state they appear in before they become a full-bodied apparition. So if you're lucky enough to capture an orb on video, you'll be amazed by how fast they can move. And photographs are usually white but can be blue as well. So that's a little bit about orbs. And there was definitely some orbs that we saw on our little tour. You take pictures, you find orbs. I think, quite frankly, it's dust.
dirty lens.
Right. It's the same thing where, look, so when I was in the Marine Corps, it was one of those things when we're training and we're in the jungle. And one of the things they tell you is to keep your eyes moving quite a bit. Because, you know, when you're really adrenalized and, you know, the enemy is out there, you look at a plant and next thing you know, that thing becomes the enemy. You can really psych yourself up. You've got to keep your eyes moving. Then you go to these scary places that say, here's ghosts. And they tell you that, you know, this wall that's been painted 15 times or 1,000 times or whatever. And they go, if you look right here, you might see something strange. And I guarantee it, you stare long enough and you're going to see the, you know, the blue paint coming through the white. And you're going to see a shape. You'll take a picture of it and, you're going to see something. You know, it's just, it's how it works. Well, if, you know, again, suspend your disbelief, you're going to see it.
So, listen to you getting all skeptical.
I'm both. Because again, I love this stuff. I love ghosts. I love devils. I love zombies. I love all that stuff. Do I buy into it? No, I really don't.
Right.
Especially ghosts. Ghosts are, we want to. And there's, you know, again, I think it's mind more than any, our minds are strong.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're going to see something, I promise you're going to see something. Ecto, fear here's is something.
An amazing thing.
Ectomist. Ectoplasm. Ectoplasm or ectomist. Because I think you have a story about that. And I'm going to tell this. I'm going to describe it. And then I want you to remember. Maybe you won't. But have you ever seen a mist or a fog that almost looks like it's swirling?
Oh, gosh. Yes, I have.
If so, you may be witnessing what paranormal investigators deem as an ectomist or ghostly mist. So it's a vaporous cloud that usually appears several feet off the ground and can move swiftly or simply stay still, almost like it's orbiting. So these ghostly encounters have been captured on many videos and in photographs and can be white, gray, or black.
Yep.
Although they can simply appear this way, they linger, they move away quickly. Sometimes ectoplasms appear before becoming a full-bodied apparition.
Yep.
And many people have witnessed them outdoors, in graveyards, battlefields, historical sites. And I remember you and Chris Roberts.
Chris Roberts. My gosh, you remember that.
I did, because I love the creepy story. So tell that if you remember.
Of course, I do.
You must.
I took my friend Chris Roberts. My father was living in Massachusetts and out near Concord. He lived in a town called Stowe. And I loved it there. I spent a good deal of time there. I almost lived there with Pop, but I ended up coming back to California. And on one trip, Chris came with me and he and I flew. It was summertime. And he and I flew to Boston and we spent a week with Dad. And my dad knew Chris and Chris knew my dad. And Chris and I did the historic sites together. One night we were out doing something or other and we were coming back and you're driving down some, you know, pretty thin and narrow country roads out there and a lot of colonial walls and things like that. And it was a summer night. There hadn't been any rain. There were no clouds or anything like that. And as I'm driving up around a bend, Chris looks ahead and he says, "Hey, what's that?" I said, I don't know. What are we looking at? And as we got a little closer, I began to see there was it appeared to be a mist of some kind floating outside of an old colonial wall. A lot of wall, what they call colonial walls, built just of rocks, but they stood the test of time and they're still there. And this mist was floating across the road. And Chris goes, speed up. I'm like, yeah, okay. I sped up. And we drove right through that thing.
You did. You drove through the mist.
Oh, yeah.
How thick was it? How tall?
It was taller than the car. It was, if I'd been standing, it would have been taller than me, probably 7 feet maybe.
Okay.
And then it was probably about 3 feet wide, just floating out from that wall. And Chris was wigged. We talked about that all night.
Well, you know, Chris, you know, we should have had him on. Because
let's call him.
He is all about ghosts. He totally
is. He really?
Yes, he is. He is all about it. He totally subscribes 100%.
You should text him right now.
See, and tell him. I'll send him. Yeah, right.
We'll send him an invite link and have him come on.
Yeah, come on later.
Yeah,
we'll revisit ghosts and just, you know.
Yeah, because that was that was one of those remarkable moments, and I will never forget that. Yeah, that 1986, I think that was.
And when you told me that story, I gotta admit, it gave me goosebumps. I'm just like, whoa, because I imagined being in the car at the time. I'm like going, whoa,
nighttime.
Nighttime, and you see that, and boom. You know, obviously it was just, you know, condensation off those things. But hey, scary, creepy, or was it ectoplasm?
Yeah.
Right.
It could have been ectoplasm. You never know. I didn't check the car when I got out. Yeah. I should have.
See, I thought it would like splat and you'd see like water and, you know,
green goop. Mucusy goop.
You get a call.
Ghostbusters.
By the way, the third type of ghost.
Yeah.
Is the poltergeist.
There we go.
One of the most popular terms most of us heard when it comes to ghosts. Poltergeist actually means noisy ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is said to have the ability to move or knock things over, make noise, manipulate the physical environment. So while many of us may have heard the term before, the poltergeist is actually one of the rarest forms of hauntings. And to many, the most terrifying. Because you're talking loud knocking sounds, lights turning off and on, doors slamming, even fires that breaking out mysteriously. These are all attributed to this type of spiritual disturbance. Another frightening aspect of the poltergeist is that the event usually starts out slowly and mildly, then begins to intensify. And while many times poltergeist activity is harmless and ends quickly, they have been known to actually become dangerous. Some experts explain it as mass form of energy that a living person is controlling unknowingly. Whatever the case may be, poltergeists have caught the attention of paranormal enthusiasts and experts. So there you go.
Mm. And it's truly, in my estimation, one of the scariest films ever.
Oh my God, yeah. The original was just...
The original Poltergeist.
Creepy.
Absolutely.
And can I just say that going back to Brookdale... We had, when we talk about ghosts, all these, okay, so let me do one other one. So the last, I've done orbs, poltergeist, ectoplasm, the interactive personality, which the last one is called a funnel ghost.
A funnel ghost?
Yes, most often spotted in homes or old historic buildings, the funnel ghost or a vortex is frequently associated with a cold spot. They usually take on the shape of a swirling funnel, and the most paranormal experts believe they are loved ones returning for a visit or even of a former resident of the home.
Ooh.
So appearing as a wisp of light or a swirling spiral of light, they're often caught in photographs or on video.
Wow.
Now, the 20 of us that stayed at the Brookdale, so after our little tour, and they warned us, look, stuff is going to happen, but you're not going to get hurt or anything like that. They say about our room when we all get there. I giggled. Look, we're all a bunch of bikers. And I'm like, yeah. Right? I just thought, all right, cute. You guys are selling it, you know, trying to get us to come back and everything. And by the way, Santa Cruz, that area, Ben Lomond area, whatever, I don't know if you've been there, it's gorgeous.
Beautiful.
The people are absolutely weird. Can I just say, I mean, it's, everybody there is escaped something. That's all I can say. The girl, I don't want to get into too much detail, but the gal that was running the bar of the Brookdale, she was really pretty, young. Mm-hmm. She was probably early 30s at the time and used to live in Chicago, but she robbed a bank. I'm like looking at her kind of sideways, like, I just did not see you as a bank robber. I never, she did 10 years or she's supposed to do 10 years. I think she did 5 years in prison.
You're
and
joking.
Got out and, yeah, and starting her new life in Santa Cruz.
Oh, Santa my Cruz gosh. How interesting.
Odd, it is. Interesting people. Weird.
Well, you know, our pal Sean Neer, who we've talked about so many times, Sean, his parents live up near Santa Cruz. They live off of up in near Bonnie Doon, up in the hills up there.
There you go.
So, yeah, it is a pretty wild place. Monterey, all of that area is a pretty wild place.
Yeah, it made sense when they did Lost Boys there because there's something to that. Of course, there were murders up there back in the 70s. There was a serial killer running loose and just killing everybody, a lot of people, had everybody frightened. Of course, that's not a ghost. That's a serial killer, but it made the place even more creepy. It's got a weird, I don't know how to explain it, but a weird vibe, you know, a small little drive through Ben Lomond. I don't know if you've been through it, but it's woodsy and everything. And you're going through the sequoias and, you know, gorgeous, you know, we rode up to Alice's restaurant and, you know, at the top, it's just beautiful there, but man, it's trippy.
You know, that word you use is a powerful one, though, vibe, because that word is the energy word. And that's a word I can kind of get in tune with. I can strikes me heavier than the word ghosts.
I get you. I totally get that. Yeah. Energy, right?
Yeah. We are full of energy. Well, human beings are, and who's to say that I know you're not a terribly religious person. I am, but I don't. Human beings are full of energy, and I don't think the energy just kind of stops. I don't think it just goes, whoop, that's it, no more.
To me, that would explain it. Yeah. To think that if I was to subscribe to ghosts, if I was, I wouldn't. I would say that they are an echo and they're not sentient beings.
Right.
I would think they're just echoes of the past. Certainly you find that a lot of people who just had unfortunate or wrongful deaths tend to appear. And so there's a heavy emotion with that. And I would think that, you know, that energy, when it's dead, it's there. It's so powerful that somehow it manifests and like a repeating, like a skipping record.
Yeah, you know, there you go.
Something like that. I can see. I could almost subscribe to that, and I would like to say that's probably what it is. But you know, again, I haven't actually seen a ghost. Really,
no.
I've seen orbs, but so I could tell you, staying at this place. You know, I went to one of those haunted places. By the way, I can't remember the name of it, Chris Roberts will tell you, he knows it, but he sent us there. We did the tour and they took us to the most haunted place in San Diego.
Oh, interesting.
I can't
remember. Was it the Coronado?
I think it was the Coronado.
Yeah, on Coronado Island. Yeah.
No. Take it back. No, it wasn't. It was Old Town San Diego.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It used to be, I don't know. I took my kids there cause they were all excited and we, you know, again, that was one where you stare at the wall long enough and, you know, people take a picture. I'm like, oh, you just painted over a bunch of stuff and blah, blah, blah. You know, nothing spooky. Now, of course, you're in a tour and this, that, and the other. Whereas the Brookdale, the only people on a tour is us bikers. There was about 20 of us. Not all, it was probably 15 of us. Not everybody wanted to go. So, and they're showing us places that we don't normally take people to hear this. And they're talking about the murders that happened there. You know, a little kid was drowned in the pool, a woman, you know, cause the mob used to come out there at the Brookdale quite a bit and they, you know, took care of some people there, you know, that kind of thing. So there was a lot of bad stuff that happened there. So you're like, ooh, that's great history. I'm sad that they're closed down. When we were there, it was like a U shape and the other half had a major fire. So they closed the other half, but we stayed in the first half.
The Del Coronado Hotel is supposed to be pretty powerfully haunted.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe. Maybe I don't think it was. This one was in, yeah, it was in San Diego. It was an old town San Diego.
Yeah.
We did the ghosts and something tour or whatever. And mm-hmm. It's a horse-drawn carriage thing. My kids loved it. It was a long, 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 long time ago.
Those are great tours. They have them all throughout Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah, I bet.
And what happens in the South? So when you go on the just any carriage tour in the South, what you notice is that the houses that are, you know, these beautiful Southern and mostly Victorian mansions, they have a blue ceiling on the porch. The porch has the ceiling is painted sky blue. And when you ask about why everybody paints it the same color, what you're told is two answers. One is very practical, and that is that for some reason the blue sky keeps the birds out of it because they think it's open to predators. So they when they fly into the porch and they see that it's a blue sky above them, they go, oh no, we don't want to stay here because there's predators above us.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool. But yeah. The other one is called Haints. H-A-I-N-T-S. It's to keep away the haints.
Yeah, which is different from the taints. Sorry.
And haints are the ghosts that spook around. And if you paint your porch ceiling light blue, you will keep the haints away.
Well, there you go. I'd rather keep the taints away.
I just thought it was kind of fun.
No, that is a true. That's very, very cool. Well, very cool. Get away the haints. Haint. I gotta have to look up that word. Haint.
I've got it right here. I'm glad you've asked. I finally learned from you to actually do a little bit of my research. So I've done some research with this because of my experience. In 2018, my family and I went to Charleston and just had a lovely, lovely week. It was it's the most beautiful city you've ever seen. I'd live there tomorrow. I really would. It was 95 degrees and 90% humidity, miserable, but I loved every second of it. It's just such a beautiful place. I couldn't get over it.
Was it filled with haints and orbs?
It was not. I did not see any orbs. I did see some haints.
Got a haint.
So it's an old Southern word, particularly from the Gullah tradition. And the Gullah tradition were the black Africans and the slaves, a lot of the slaves who had been brought in from Africa against their will. And these are restless spirits. They're restless ghosts. They're said to be spirits who have not left this world and haunt a certain place. Well, of course, Charleston is one of the oldest cities in America. It was a city before America was a country. And, you know, so it's got a long, long history. And let's not forget, it was a pirate city. It's where a lot of Blackbeard ended up in Charleston at one point. Because you sailed right out of the Charleston Harbor and you'd go, you know, right down into the into the south there and toward the Caribbean Sea and below Florida and all of the rest and we're across to the Caribbean. So
Johnny Depp too, he's there.
Right? Johnny Depp hangs out there. Yeah, right.
No,
tell you, there's some of the best food you'll ever eat. Oh, it's just
gorgeous. Well, I can tell you. I've stayed in New Orleans, and good God.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
Who dem saints?
Oh, I love.
Now haints and haunt. H-A-U-N-T, H-A-I-N-T. Interesting.
Correct.
So yeah, haints do haunt, right?
Haints do haunts, right?
So if it's haunted, it's hainting.
Haint is just simply kind of a colloquialism from the language as it kind of grew as a word. It's an old Southern word for a specific type of ghost or evil spirit from the Carolina coast, but found in tales from various regions of the South.
I am haints is haunting.
Yep. It originated with the Gullah people, what are called the Gullah Geechee people. These are the descendants of African slaves in the Carolina Low Country. I never forget, we rode on one of those horse-drawn carriages to Charleston.
Yeah.
And the guy had a great accent. He says, well, I'm from Beaufort, South Carolina. And y'all wondering, I know, because you hear us talking about the Low Country. We ain't complicated people, y'all. We call it the Low Country because it's low. It's right down by the river.
That's some low stuff right there, man.
It's low country cooking. Yeah. There you go. So there's hints, and I found that fascinating. I just thought
that is interesting. So I don't. So and I'll certainly tell you my ghost story because I literally only have one, and this is
one. You have one ghost.
I have one ghost story. Brookdale Lodge.
Brookdale
Inn. Well, we didn't see. So here's what happened to us. Now, my other good friends had the moisture thing, ectomist.
Yeah.
He went up to, it was like 2:30 in the morning. He had to go take a whiz, walk mm-hmm. into his room, and he felt something wet slap him on the ankle.
Ooh.
And his ankle was wet. I'm like, did you piss yourself? He's like, no. And if it was, wouldn't it be warm? Because this was cold.
Wow.
He goes, I walked through something like it was weird. All of a sudden, I walked this little area that was really cold, and then something slapped me on the ankle. And, you know, I'm like, I turn on the light. He goes, went to the bathroom. Look, my ankle's wet. And I'm like, oh, shit, is something leaking? That's what he thought, like maybe air conditioning or something like that. So he turned on the lights. But it was, you know, there was no wet spots anywhere on the where he walked through. Nothing like that. And he goes, it was the weirdest thing. There was another couple that saw sort of what I would call something between an orb and a funnel ghost. Because they saw something that had all these lights swirling around in their room.
Oh my gosh.
And he said it was small. They said it was only like, it's like your hand kind of thing spinning. And they said there was lights and it was kind of roundish, but it was
did
like,
it freak them out?
Freak them their shit out. they didn't stay. That's how bad they, because we're staying for two nights. They kind of jetted. So the first night we stayed, this is when literally we all had something happen to us. So for us, it was during the day. It was after a really long ride. We got there and we're all going to meet for dinner. All of us were like, all right, let's go. We'll go in our rooms, kind of settle in and everything like that. And we've been riding for 6 hours. So, and it was warm. It was that summer. So, you know, 80s, 90s or whatever. And so we're sweaty and everything like that. So we get to our room, unload. And Tina's like, I want to take a shower. And I'm like, okay, I'll go after you. So she, if you go in, in the place, there had the bathroom had a pocket door. You know what those are, right?
Yeah, sure. Slides into the wall.
Right. So Tina goes in there, drops off her stuff. And I'm just laying on the bed because I'm exhausted. I was really tired. And so she starts to shower. She shut the pocket door for some reason. I don't know why, but she shut it. And I'm laying there kind of dozing. And, you know, probably about 5 minutes into it, the door. She stops her shower. That's right. And the door starts just rattling really hard. Oh. Rattle.
Is this broad daylight?
Yeah, it was broad daylight. This
broad
is
daylight.
4:30.
Wow.
4:30 in the afternoon. But rattling really hard. And I kind of like wake up. I mean, I wasn't really asleep. I was like dozing on the edge. And I'm thinking, you know how you can lock the things? And I'm thinking it's probably jammed and she's trying to unjam it or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think I even said, yeah, no, you need help or something like that. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I'm like, okay. I didn't look because there's like a little mini wall. So I couldn't see anything. And then, I don't know, probably 10 minutes later or whatever, she's coming out of the shower and she says, I'm so sorry. She goes, you know, it wasn't locked. I didn't lock it. You could have come in. I'm like, I looked at her. I'm like, what are you talking about? She goes, I heard you trying to get in. She goes, it's not locked. I said, it's not locked. Did you not hear me say it's not locked? I went, no. I said, because I'm laying here. I didn't try to open the door. I thought that was you. She's like, what? You didn't try to unlock the door. And I go, no, I'm laying over here. I did not move. I'm laying here. I go, and you didn't try to unlock it? And she goes, no. I heard the thing rattling, and I thought you were trying to get in. And I'm like, no. And I'm like, we both gave you, it just immediately freaked us like, that's creepy.
And it wasn't an earthquake that you know.
No.
You
feel, well, would I felt
it could have been.
I guess. Or maybe, who knows, maybe the pipes are running next to it. Maybe pipes made it rattly.
Wow.
It would be one thing if it was a little rattle, but it was like, did you like, it was like, it was hard. It was like, rah, 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 rah. I mean, like someone was trying to open it. So. Wow. Yeah, it freaked us out. And, you know, we started hearing other stories because that night, so that was at 4 o'clock. And again, I didn't think much of it. Yeah, I'm like, whatever. We went to bed that night. Next morning, we get up, we're all meeting. And the dudes below us, a couple below us, they're like, man, you guys, can you not like sleep or something like that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he goes, do you pee a lot or something? And I'm like, no. I said, he goes, I heard you stomping around like 3 o'clock. I'm like, he goes, you're directly above. And I'm like, I wasn't stomping. And he goes, you don't get up at all? I go, no, dude, I slept. I don't get up. He goes, oh my God. It was like stomping, like loud. It's like thump, 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 right above us. And he goes, that's your room. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, and that wasn't you? And I'm like, dude, no. So he was free. They're like, oh my God, honey, they weren't, he's telling his wife, they weren't stomping. He said, I'm like, I'm raising my hands. Like, I don't know what you're talking about, but it was creepy. Then my buddy tells me about the wet spot. The other person goes, oh my God, we saw this weird shit in our room, a floating translucent thing that was like different colors. And it lasted for a couple of minutes and then just sort of disappeared. And anyway, we're leaving tonight. They did not stay. They took off. It freaked them out. And other people, there was other weird complaints here and there, but I wouldn't think all of us, but a lot of us, there was had to have been at least 7 or 8 different weird stories. So that was the Brookdale Lodge or Brookdale Inn, Brookdale Lodge, I think.
Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
That was the weirdest stuff I've ever encountered. I still don't buy into this 100%, but I got to admit there was something.
Well, if you spend any time in New Orleans and around the South, I mean, you'll hear about haints and boo hags and all the rest.
Well, that makes sense, by the way. It's such an old place, 100 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's a boo hag, by the way? Would you call me?
Would you call me? Boo hags are kind of fun. Boo hags are undead creatures. These are the kinds you like.
I love undead creatures.
I like me a boo hag. Boo hag, it's a mythical creature, again, of the Gullah culture.
Like Gollum?
No, Gullah is the slave culture.
Sorry.
And they're creepy. man. So they're undead creatures who are after your breath. So their whole purpose is to steal your breath away. They sit on you, on your chest, almost like a cat. You know?
Yeah, they say cats did that. They were a myth as well, that cats are stealing, killing your babies.
They're similar to vampires, but rather than gaining blood, they like to take your breath. They have no skin, and thus they're just sort of red and sort of skeleton-y looking. In order to be less conspicuous, they steal a victim's skin and use it for as long as it holds out, wearing it as long as one might wear clothing. They remove and hide this skin before going riding. And going riding means they're going riding. Don't let the boo hags ride you. That's what they say is don't let the boo hag ride you. And that's actually the way you would say something when you say goodnight to someone. Good night. Don't let the boo hag ride you.
Don't let the boo hag ride you. I'm going to say that to my wife tonight. Good night, honey. Don't let the boo hag ride you. Don't do that.
If you are at all interested in truly spooky stories, there is another podcast that I'm just giving them a free bite. They're far more popular than ours, but they're called Spooked. Spooked, and you can go to spookedpodcast.org. I have listened to a number of them and been to the point where I have had to turn it off. I've listened to them usually. I like to listen to podcasts at night when I go to sleep.
Oh, me too.
And when I listen to them, I fall asleep, and sometimes I remember what I heard, and sometimes I don't. And so you can hear Spooked at spookedpodcast.org. You can also hear them on Snap Judgment, which is that's where I first heard them.
I'm going to check them out. That's exciting.
Yeah, spookedpodcast.org or Snap Judgment. Yeah. And I'm telling you, great stories and powerful, scary stuff. And I think they're fun. They're fun to listen to, and it just opens up a world that I'm skeptical of, but boy, when I hear the stories, I get a little bit creeped.
Oh, because they're creepy, and that's we love that. Again, that goes back to our whole mythology. We love to be scared, and that type of thing, and that paranormal stuff. I mean, that and the alien thing. That's another thing that we kind of that's almost paranormal to me.
Yep.
But I mean, now if I could believe in anything, aliens, I could believe in that. Oh, I'm sure. It's a huge, the universe is huge. The galaxy is huge, for crying out loud. So do you know the difference, the close encounters? How many different kinds of close encounters are there?
It's 5 the highest one?
7.
7, okay.
7 close encounters. So it is when you have sex with them? Yes, that's when you both buy an apartment and get a king size bed, and that's what that's the story. Yeah, that's it. So the first kind is visual sighting of a UFO that you see within 500 feet, that kind of
thing. And we've all had that.
Never once have I had one of those.
You've never seen a UFO? Come on, an unidentified flying
object. Less than 500 feet?
Oh, well, okay, yeah.
See, that's just it. We can all see weird stuff way out yonder.
Right.
But I'm talking, you see it. So the first kind means you see it. It's 500 feet, appreciable angular extensions, considerable detail. You can draw what that thing looks like.
You're right.
That's the first kind.
Okay.
So when you get in the second kind, that's a UFO event with a physical effect is alleged.
Right.
So that could be interference in the function of a vehicle, you know, again, or an electronic device, animals reacting, physiological effects like paralysis or heat or discomfort in the witness, some type of physical trace like impressions in the ground.
Which one is that? That's two or three?
This is second kind.
Second? That's only second.
Yeah. So, you know, it's got to be real. These are close encounters. So some stuff happening. Close encounters of the third kind. That is UFO encounters in which an animated entity is present.
Hmm.
They can include humanoid robots and humans who seem to be occupants or pilots of a UFO.
Wow.
Now, close encounters of the fourth kind. That is a UFO event in which a human is abducted by UFO or its occupants. And that's the anal probing begins.
It always has something to do with anal probing. And, it always does.
You're going to be the butt of their joke. So, sorry. So that's the fourth count kind. Anyway, that's big. Fifth kind. A close encounter of the fifth kind is a UFO event that involves direct communication between aliens and humans. So this type of close encounter was named by Stephen M. Greer's CSETI group.
Interesting.
And it's described as a bilateral contact experiences through consciousness, voluntary and proactive human-initiated cooperative communication with extraterrestrial intelligence.
Hmm.
Meow. Close encounters of the sixth kind. The butt. No, I'm just joking.
The anal probe.
Unfortunately, this is where it gets kind of scary and sad. This is where we get into paranormal scary stuff. But sixth kind is death of a human or animal associated with a UFO sighting.
Hmm.
Well, there you go. So, and then finally, last but not least, close encounters of the seventh kind, the creation of a human alien hybrid, either by sexual reproduction or artificial scientific methods.
Wow.
That's the seventh kind. We're breeding with aliens.
Breeding. So it does involve having sex with them.
Yeah, right. You're boning an alien, right? Or the alien's boning you.
You can hear Dan Aykroyd doing this. Now, the seventh kind.
The seventh kind. It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
It's the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Right. That's always fascinated me. I got to admit the alien stuff because... Yeah, I believe that there's got to be life other than this tiny little ball.
See, that's interesting, and I'm skeptical about that. Now, I again, the government under President Trump's watch, the government released information about the Navy pilots who have had close encounters of the first kind,
right?
The 500 feet, you know, and then seeing them up close and flying in really, really. Unusual ways that planes can't fly,
right.
Going into the water and out of the water and all of that. And they've been released. So I think, you know what I think it is? It's fascinating. I think, you know, because there was that show when we were kids called Project Blue Book.
Right.
And then, of course, there was X-Files.
And
I think everyone wants to think there's a conspiracy that the government knows that there's aliens and Area 51 is out there to – I think it's actually quite the opposite. What I think it is, look, man, we've seen some stuff, and we have no idea what it is, but it's pretty strange.
Yeah, I don't think – you know, I think Area 51 is just – it's a top secret testing site.
Right, yeah.
That's what it is, and you're not – you know, are they holding alien DNA? My point is that I believe there has to be life out of this planet. I believe that. There has to be. It is way too vast. We've already found just with our galaxy, we believe there's a couple of planets that could be inhabitable based on, I mean, and that's still looking from far, far, far away. That's just our galaxy. Now we talk about the galaxies upon galaxies and galaxies within this universe. Are you telling me we're the, I just think that's just such a narcissistic view to believe that we're the only thing in this gigantic universe.
Wow.
I mean, I don't buy into the ghosts and demon kind of thing so much, but to think that there's not life out there, you know, and they still think even Mars, they may have found little, you know, bacteria or something like that, frozen and things like that. So I think even, I'm not saying they're brighter than us, already, but there may be something out there that's just that basic life, you know, fish or whatever, you know, something really minute, bugs or whatever, but you know, and there might be something like the aliens out there that we think we're seeing. I can absolutely see that. You know, how do we get the pyramids and explaining the math involved and things like that? You know, did aliens give them some of that way back when? You know, I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think that's kind of, to me, that is much more reasonable than believing in ghosts.
I guess it is. Yeah. It's certainly more, it's
reasonable.
More practical. I think you're right. It is more reasonable. That doesn't mean I do it, but I do think it's more reasonable.
All right. Yeah. And still, I there's nothing wrong with being, not 100% sold on it. Right. I'm not either. I'm not. But I think if there's anything out of all our paranormal stuff, whether it be aliens, whether it be ghosts or whether it be demons, I think the last two, the ghosts and the demons, are more mythology to, you know, because we want to believe in stuff like that, or because, you know, something weird happened to us and we can't explain it 100%. So we're going to go that route. Whereas I think aliens, just because we understand there's this giant universe out there vast, and not even universe, as galaxy that we live in. We are in a galaxy where there's, you know, celestial objects, you know, just with our galaxy. And we know, we realize there's hundreds of thousands and millions of other galaxies out there.
Enormous,
And to think that there's no other beings like us, or something carbon-based, I think is ridiculous.
Do you think that there are civilizations as advanced?
It wouldn't surprise me. Just laws of averages,
right?
Yeah. Laws of averages would tell me there's something like us out there. You know, but I don't know. We haven't. We're still in such an infancy of space exploration. I mean, we might get to Mars one day. You know, and hang out there and, you know, whatever. And that's just within our solar system. We're not even talking about our galaxy, which is gigantor. Other galaxies and things like that. I mean, it's just like overwhelming how tiny, how minuscule we are, you know. And I believe they're out there. And I believe that there could be things more intelligent than us. So,
it wouldn't take much.
No, it really wouldn't. I think we're in this evolution, and who knows if they're not watching us and waiting for us to finally snap out of it, and then they'll give us some really cool technology. Who knows? But I don't know.
By the way, we really like Led Zeppelin.
And by the way, Zep, dude. Crank the Zep. Yeah. So who knows, it's dude?
It is indeed. I think these are all.
I will say, you know, plausible. It's very plausible.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay.
Well, heck, Joe Biden got elected president. Anything's plausible.
Well, so did Trump for that reason.
Yeah, I was going to say, Donald Trump got elected president. Anything's possible.
Anything's freaking possible there. So, and I'm not going to go into it. I was going to jump into angels and demons and talk about that a little bit. But I know we're kind of running out of time. And it does get into the, you know, people.
And that becomes a theological conversation, too.
It does. Really, that's where... You know, and I don't want to, you know, offend anybody. So, although I'm looking at it purely from the actual, what is a malevolent being and what is a benevolent being.
Benevolent, you know, being.
Angels.
I have
demons.
No problem with you talking about stuff like that. I think we should probably do it another time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We'll do another time. I mean, but but it's we all, you know, anybody who's ever been educated in, you know, basic Bible study 101 kind of gets it. So, yeah. There's nothing I can break down. It was really interesting looking about, because we really subscribe to really two types, the bad guys and the good guys. I think it was the Iranians and or the Easter, or God, who was it? Who also had ambivalent or natural, they had the genies.
Oh, interesting.
The genii or the jinn, really, or genies or genii or whatever. But they could be good or bad, and, you know, they would.
Interesting.
They were spirits, and that was it. They can either be beneficial to humans or they could be dicks.
Or they could be pretty blonde girls.
Yeah, or they can be hot. Yeah.
And live with Air Force Majors in Cocoa Beach, Florida. And,
right. So you never know. Genie! But so I like that because they had the good, the bad, and the neutral. I kind of like that. Genies were like the neutral. We're neutral. Like, sometimes we can like. Be. We're sort of whatever. We're either going to be dicks or cool or whatever. You know, whatever we want. So that was kind of cool. Where you got purely dicks, that's the demons, and purely awesome, which was angels and, you know, that kind of thing. So
it's a lot to explore, and we ought to talk more about it. I listen, you people listening should leave your interesting stories with us.
We would love to see your interesting stories. So if you're listening to this, fascinated, post an interesting story that's happened to you.
ConsideringSomeThings.com, www.ConsideringSomeThings.com, and put it under the contacts and the memo, and we'll listen to your story. And we might even talk about it on the air to all 15 of our listeners.
Yeah,
so
last I checked, there was 14.5.
And the 0.5 hasn't revealed itself yet.
It's maybe it's a sentient being.
It could well be. Or an orb. It could be an orb.
Thank you all for joining us. You're awesome.
We love that you were here, and this has been a fun conversation. Keith, as always, a pleasure. And enjoy your day, evening, everybody. And 2021's coming. Let's make it a better year, shall we?
Yes. Let's consider more things. So thank you all. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.